it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by Eagle Bank.
The most impressive thing wasn't Drake May to me. It was Mike Vrabel. This football team, look at the difference he's already had on this football team. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's night and day. Night and day. They actually play defense now. All right? They got rookies all over the damn place. The whole left side of the line is rookies. Mm-hmm. You got to be killing them. Well, not so much. All right? I'm telling you, the difference, it's him. It's him.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Rex Ryan talking up Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I love Rex because you always know where he stands. It's never, gosh, I'm not sure how he really feels.
He doesn't tiptoe through it.
No, man. He
doesn't pussy
sledgehammer. Just comes right at you.
First one was, got it. Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
Yeah, he. I also not sure he watched every Patriots game this year. And there's been some ebbs and flows to our Mike Vrabel conversation. And we're going to dig a little deeper into that right now. Because I guess you have Rex Ryan leaving that game Sunday night saying, it's Mike Vrabel. It's the culture has changed. I do think our guy, Mark Schlereth, has a similar tone that he shared with us at about 2:30. Go back on the Odyssey app if you want to listen to that interview. But he's a big Mike Vrabel has set a culture tone kind of guy. And yet the rest of the country seems to be like, no. The Patriots are winning the same reason a lot of football teams win. They found their quarterback. They got a star. They got a superstar. They got him. Not the horror movie him, just a really good player kind of him at the quarterback position. And I wanted to delve into that. So, Ted Johnson, you didn't like my tease, first of all. Why were you shaking your head?
Well, it's just, you know, who gets credit every week? It's like a power ranking of who gets credit every week. It's all. It's
well, that's a good idea, Ted. You want to do that?
No, I don't.
Oh, no.
I mean, this is, you know, I don't know. The first take debate format isn't my favorite, but I'll do what we got to do.
Should we shout it out more? I'll tell you who deserves the most credit.
So, Ted Johnson, I used yesterday's poll for this opportunity at Jumbo Hart at WEEI Afternoons. Who has been better at his job through five games this season for the Patriots? Can you lift your head up and just pay attention? Drake May or Mike Vrabel? And 70% of respondents said it is Drake May. Only 30% say that it's the guy that Mike Giardi told us in, where was it, May, June, that Mike Vrabel's the MVP of this team, MVP of the offseason.
Or maybe even as far as July, but your coach went on the Greg Hill Morning Show yesterday, just like he did at the post-game podium, and said, the players deserve the credit, not me.
And the top player right now is Drake May. And I remember when Giardi said that Vrabel's the MVP of this team. That's not a good thing. Like, I think if you want to be the best you can be, you need that to become Drake May. You need that to become the centerpiece quarterback guy that's going to lead you to the promised land. And over the last couple of weeks, you can argue that he has taken significant steps in that direction. But if you were going to make an argument, if I asked you to argue, which they do sometimes on those first take type shows or NBC Sports Boston, same thing. If I asked you to argue, why is Mike Vrabel the key to the 3-2 start that has the Patriots in the conversation for the playoffs? What would some of your arguments be?
Well, it'd be because he put the pieces in place so that Drake May could shine, so he could fly. He put the offensive line together. He hired the offensive line coach. He put the wide receivers together. He was probably, you know, big reason why the Steph Diggs is on this team. He brought in a ton of free agents that are factoring in to the success of this team so far, especially on defense. So he's establishing the culture, and if you don't have a good culture, you don't have anything. Drake May had – how many games did he start last year?
12, but one didn't count.
And how many games did he win?
One.
So, I mean, the coach – right now, I think Mike Vrabel is more important than Drake May is right now. Eventually, I think that will probably change. But right now, I think Mike deserves most of the credit because of the culture he's established, the coaches he's brought in that are coaching Drake May, that are coaching the wide receivers, that are coaching all the defensive guys. I mean, that to me is huge. You can see the impacts of bad coaches that have on programs. And then when their teams are really good, you want to give the players credit, which they deserve most of the credit usually. But initially, to get this plane that is – has not been able to get off the ground since 2019, it needed a good quality coach, and they have that now. So right now, I think it's by far Mike Vrabel. It will eventually become Drake May if he continues to play this way, which I think he will. But right now, it's Mike Vrabel.
And because Drake May was already here, we talked about the fact that he was the great allure for Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel. But who brought in all the Vrabros? Who brought in Terrell Williams and Thomas Brown and Todd Downing and Doug Marrone, people that are behind the scenes right now, small and like slightly responsible for all these different elements.
All the Bill Bros.
Yes, that's right. Got out all the Bill Bros. That's right. All the Bill Bro Baggins. Get out of here. And the Vray Bros are in the house, and they're and Stretch and the company, and they're all doing a great, great job. But yes, you're right. It's still Vrabel. Eventually, it's going to be Drake May, and that's a great. It's exactly how he wants it. I bet you too.
So I want to add a little wild card layer to this, because when we talk about the Red Sox and a lot of people get excited about Breslow, part of the conversation, remember, was like, well, does he get credit for Bregman, or did Cora push that point? Does Cora get credit for recruiting and emphasizing how much they needed Bregman? Does he get credit for Devers, or did the owner say, get rid of Devers? I don't want him on my baseball team. I just met with him over breakfast, right? So there was that weirdness. And I'll throw a name in here that I think could deserve a lot of credit, and that's Josh McDaniels. I think he's doing a great job with Drake May. Mm-hmm. But we were told that Robert Kraft hired Josh McDaniels, that essentially that was a forced marriage. Remember we were using that lingo early in the year? So is there a...
So you want to give Josh McDaniels credit? But he wasn't in the survey, was he?
He wasn't, but I want to give him credit for Drake May. Because I think the biggest thing that Drake May has done has cleaned up his game. We knew Drake May could make plays. This is where I said yesterday, like, the rollout is awesome when he rolls out and hits Steph Day. I knew he could make that. I've seen him make that. Mm-hmm. I saw him on the practice field do it to Pop Douglas, I think, right? 50 yards downfield in the bucket. You're like, wow. What I didn't know is if he could stop fumbling and stop throwing interceptions and stop doing the dumb stuff that would cost them usually one score games, right? Last year, there's no way they win this game with Drake May, correct? That 20-20 type game, he turns it over.
He throws a pick.
Through two interceptions last year.
And I think Josh McDaniels gets some credit for that.
No question.
In molding Drake May in the right direction. So if I could redo my own poll... I don't even know what that means. We'll just move along. Pause.
Save that drop.
If I could redo my own poll, maybe I would put McDaniels slash May as one sort of combo unit there. And I think I would vote for that. I think I would vote for the McDaniels-May relationship that just seems like it's kind of getting comfortable and kind of getting productive on a quicker basis than I thought.
That was my three-point stance from on Friday, was that the offensive coordinator and the quarterback are feeling each other, they're vibing, they're playing. The partnership is at an all-time high as far as confidence in each other. I mean, the way you hear Drake talk about Josh, the way you hear Josh talk about Dre, I said last week in my three-point stance that Josh McDaniels, through the first 4 weeks of the season, has got the biggest windows for his receivers of any team in the NFL. That's great scheming. The fact that Drake May has a 74% completion percentage and leads the NFL in completion percentage on third down, a lot of that has to do with the scheming of Josh McDaniels. So if you don't want to, Shime, if you're listening, if you don't want to give Josh McDaniels any credit, do it at your own peril. But it's the numbers and the data and the analytics would tell you that he's having a huge impact on the success of Drake May.
And did we ever get it confirmed in the offseason? I don't think we'll ever actually get it confirmed that Robert Kraft or the Kraft family was solely responsible for the hiring. No.
No, and it's I don't think it was solely.
No, it's an assumption. But at the same time, that's taking away from Mike Vrabel possibly seeing the value that Josh McDaniels could have brought.
A lot of those comments, or a lot of those thoughts, I think, were kind of from some of the comments that Vrabel made after week two or week three, in which he said they wanted a comment about Josh McDaniels. It was, well, we got Thomas Brown, And we got Todd Dowling too. It's not just Josh. There's and you see some of the concepts. You're seeing concepts. Now, we'll get B. Hoyer in here in 15 minutes, and he'll tell you, well, all those plays were in Josh McDaniel's offense. Well, yeah, they were in there, but they weren't being used. And, you know, so it's like, you know, they're in there, but they weren't being used. But you see elements of the Kyle Shanahan offense in this offense, and that's, to me, is Thomas Brown's influence, you know? And there's other
people. Second time you've mentioned him as a positive influence this season.
Right, so it's a Josh McDaniels and others that are responsible for, I think, Drake May's development this year.
617-779-7937. Let's bring the listeners into the conversation. Let's go to Ed in Maine, who has a thought on Mike Vrabel. What's up, Ed?
How are you guys? So I saw one thing that we never would have had advantage of this last year. Vrabel, there was about 20-something seconds left in the first half. Time was running down. He pulled the ref over and was standing right by his side, ready to call the timeout, and he called the timeout. The ref stopped the clock at 17 seconds. Vrabel called the ref back over and said, hey, I want 18. You know, I asked for it at 18. And then that was, if you remember, there was 1 second left when the ball went off of Henry's hand. They would have lost that, and then they kicked the field goal. So, I mean, that was a veteran move that, look, I love Mayo as a player. I mean, he was just out of his league as a head coach, I think. I don't know. I've never been a head coach. The other piece is I would love to know Josh McDaniel's record as an offensive coordinator against Buffalo. Because remember the old days when Ted was playing, I mean, they ruled it. It was like 19-0 or something. You guys were just destroying Buffalo. And I have a feeling that Josh was there then doing all that work and creating, you know, creating holes, like Ted just said. I mean, windows, giant windows for these people. And
thanks for the call, Ed.
So Brady was 30, for the record, he was 33-3.
Yeah, but Josh wasn't the coordinator.
He was for the majority of it, he was.
Ted's era, it was Weiss.
Yeah, just so you know, no team has beaten the Buffalo Bills as much. It's going to be a team in the division, you would think, right?
Yes.
Because you play them twice. But I think it's like 73 times.
It's ridiculous.
The Patriots record versus the Buffalo Bills all time.
Yeah.
And then they get beat in the second year of Drake May. That was right. Can you imagine seeing Gerard Mayo like bringing the ref over? Hey, he almost mucked it up. I mean, if they didn't get that field goal before half, oh my gosh, we'd be killing him. But I thought he let that clock run down a little bit too much. You're getting a little too cute.
Oh, you played with fire there.
I know you didn't want to get Josh the ball back, but my gosh, like if there was a few seconds left to kick off,
right?
I think that would have been okay. But so they almost mucked up. They didn't, but that was really good clock management.
I mean, on paper, it looks perfect because you legitimately had a chance at a touchdown. The linebacker, I think it was Milano, hit Hunter Henry and his right arm kind of got taken out of the catch in a weird way.
Yes.
If he gets two hands up, he catches it. But you also kicked a field goal with 1 second left. It kind of looks like you did it perfectly.
Some people would say if you had more time, you could have maybe gone for a touchdown.
Well, and Drake actually told us yesterday he probably should have given Hunter another half a second to run the route. And I'm like, you couldn't. Then if he doesn't catch it, you don't get the field goal. Then you've bungled it. Now we're talking Mayo-like execution.
Well, he's saying if he waited a half second left, so Hunter Henry got bumped off a little bit. If he waits a half second, he gets back online, and then he can catch the ball.
Hopefully he catches it. But if it's incomplete, then you get nothing.
Yeah.
Then you go back to the locker room with no points. And Vrabel talked about how he thought it was really important to have a lead. You had played really well in the first half. Go into the locker room feeling good, looking at the scoreboard and seeing your number be bigger than their number as you go to the locker room. So it was an interesting, but he definitely told the guy. I saw it. He called timeout and it went 17. He said, no, 18. I wanted it at 18. And he's an imposing figure.
You got lucky. You got 1 second. I mean, I almost can see the clock person going, you know, letting that
fast
run.
Fast.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Let's go to our buddy Tim in Hanover. How we doing, Tim?
All right, guys. Great afternoon. Hey, I just want to say, Ted, you're so honored about Vrabel. I love when they got him. I was excited, actually. I was still unsure on May because he wasn't one of my original guys, but now I'm solidified with May. After he played that game against Buffalo, he cemented me in. Now Vrabel just has to keep doing what he's been doing, get better guys to help him out on that line and get a few more elites, and we got a real team.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Doesn't it feel like he's got a vision? Like, you know, I don't know what the vision was the last 5 years here. I really don't. What are they trying to, like, you know, for years here, you could see kind of what Belichick was trying to do. And,
yeah.
And in the last 4 or 5, you couldn't.
There wasn't a vision.
But there's a vision now. And I think it's becoming clear. And that just helps. That helps establish a culture. That helps in the winning department. So I think Mike just had a clear vision of who he wanted and what he's looking for, and it's starting to come to fruition.
And he made the comment in that Patriots.com video in the locker room. I told you guys what we were doing would work, and that they were in our way, or we had to go through them, yeah, or something to that effect. And he's right. I mean, you had kind of established yourself. Well, we might be the second best team in the division, but how far are we from the best team in the division, from the Bills, from the measuring stick? And I'm not saying this makes you better than the Bills, because I think the Bills are a very good team. But you went into the Bills' house, and you took care of business against the Bills, and you made Josh Allen and Sean McDermott and that team go, huh, looks like the Patriots are kind of gaining a little ground here. Look like they are going in the right direction or charting a course, and we're kind of at the end of that course.
My guess is week 15, when they play the Bills again, they're not going to have 11 penalties for 90 yards.
Turn
the ball over like right. that. So
I agree.
If they play a clean game and you play a clean game, they're a better team than you right now.
Yes. With the way that the Patriots' schedule is setting up, too, you'll have a highly motivated Buffalo Bills team that could very well be trying to lock up the AFC East by that point as well, which is
they're trying to lock up the number one seed because KC's down. The Ravens,
Chargers
are
scuffling recently. The Texans. I mean, do you want to live in a world where the Indianapolis Colts are the one seed in the AFC?
And they're trying to do what you guys did: shut down a stadium with the final game being a playoff game. That'd be cool if Highmark Stadium hosted the AFC Championship game and they go to the Super Bowl.
Why would that be cool?
I said it would be cool.
For the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah.
To beat you and go, how about we host it in Gillette?
No, not the Patriots. I'm saying in general, they want to shut down their stadium. The last game they play there is to go to the Super Bowl. Wait, you think the Patriots are in the AFC title game?
No, but why would you think the Buffalo Bills, it's cool if they get to play an AFC championship game there?
Oh, because I'm rooting for the Bills. I said all
I'm
along.
Rooting for the Patriots.
I am too, but they're not. I don't think they're in the AFC Championship
conversation.
They just
beat the Bills? I don't know.
Oh, boy. He's getting ahead of himself now. He went a couple weeks ago. He was doubting everything, and now we're in the AFC title game at Highmark Stadium, baby.
I can get down with the Bills Mafia and Josh Allen, but I don't want to be in an AFC Championship game if another team can be in it.
Ted, save room in the sidecar for me. Andy can catch his own right up.
Yeah, I live in the real world. I think the Patriots are doing some really nice things, but the AFC Championship game feels like a road too far, a bridge too far at this point. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Jeff in the car. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I think one of the big X factors here is really that Vrabel's kind of the polar opposite of what Bill was. I mean, after that first fumble, Bill wouldn't have let Ramondre back out onto the field. He would have rather had Hunter Henry carrying the ball. But Vrabel was quoted as saying, we still got 3 quarters to go, and I think both touchdowns were scored by Ramondre in that game. So I think it's the positive reinforcement that Vrabel brings to this team, especially like Borealis, who missed, 2 extra points in the first game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't just throw a guy out. I mean, this is a team on the rebuild, and I think that positive reinforcement is really kind of helping the culture. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. It's funny. You know, last year it was Mayo was trying to do everything opposite of Bill. He was talking about it. He wasn't being about it. Vrabel is actually acting different than Bill and not talking about being different than Bill. And that's the difference. So didn't Bill one time a running back fumbled and then he was inactive for 5 games?
Yes,
that was Steven.
Who was that?
Ridley.
It wasn't like some Joe Bag of Donut running back. It was a good and so. Yeah, and I don't know, did that work? When you have Tom Brady, you can pretty much do whatever the hell you want. Right. And if people go, oh, it worked, well, you had Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Real quick, by the way, Josh McDaniels' record against the Buffalo Bills as the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, 22-6. Not bad.
Who was his
pretty
quarterback?
Good. I mean, a lot of that is Tom Brady.
None of them was with Cam Newton. Those are two L's.
All I know is he's 1-0 with Drake May on Sunday Night Football on the road. And yes, Mike Vrabel, his coaching from love or his positivity or whatever you support is the biggest surprise for me of this entire season. I did not see this coming. I did not know he was a more modern, empathetic, sympathetic, whatever coach, however you want to call it. That has surprised me quite a bit with Mike Vrabel. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, as Ted Johnson alluded to, Brian Hoyer will join us. He'll talk about this Vrabel and May dynamic. Maybe he'll give his opinion on who deserves more credit for the positivity in Foxborough these days, a team that could be headed towards the AFC Championship game, Ted Johnson says. That's up next with Brian Hoyer. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on-demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Tuesday at 4:30 on WEEI Afternoons. That means two things. We're going to hear Morgan Wallen, because that's the intro music for former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing this week?
I'm great. I mean, I think all of New England is great this week.
Absolutely. So I'm going to challenge you. We all love Drake May here. Me, you, Ted, everybody. But I'm sure you've been following on social media and all the talk shows. I'm going to challenge you to say something more bombastically positive about Drake May than has already been said. Because it's, I mean, Greg Olson said he looked like a guy that's going to be the best quarterback in football. Like, I said he's going to go to the Patriots Hall of Fame. Like, you need to one-up all of us.
Well, I'll go with something off the field. And I said this last year, and Ted and I did a few post-game shows. The way he carries himself, I think a lot of people are obviously talking about what he's done on the field, and it's been magnificent. But the thing that I'm most excited about, and we had him on our podcast last week, just his, as the kids would put it, his aura. I mean, he's supremely confident, but he's humble, and he kind of has this aw shucks attitude about him. Never gets too high, never gets too low. And look, the reality is, at that position, adversity's coming. And he had to deal with a lot of adversity as a young rookie last year on a not a great situation. And when you think about where he's at today, he was making his first career start a year ago this week, in week six. And where he's come in a year is, in my opinion, about 3 years worth of development. And so he's coming along fast. And the one thing I love to see was his personality starting to show a little bit too. We saw it 2 weeks ago with the Superman celebration. We saw it this past weekend with a big, you know, get off the bench and scream and yell. And that to me is just showing that his confidence is growing, not only in himself, but the team.
It's such a good point. The Superman thing I thought was, well, okay, all right, Drake, very, you know, that's a really good example to use. But let's continue that thinking off the field impact and on the field impact. But with Steph Diggs, Steph Diggs, it feels like, Brian, going into that game, he was the fourth most efficient receiver, you know, as far as catches versus targets in the NFL. And my guess is after last week, he's probably even higher than that this week. But what did you see from Steph Diggs this week, his leadership off the field, but also the impact he's having on the field?
Yeah, I think the one thing, and Ted, you would probably agree with me on this, you could be a great leader in the locker room, but until you do it on the field, it really doesn't carry much weight. And so Steph is just what he's done in the past few weeks. The leadership that he brings on the field is resonating with the entire team, with that receiver room. And the one thing I think we're seeing, and I know a lot was made, they asked him, you know, what's your comfort level? He said 5 out of 10. He's got to be feeling great about where he's at in the system right now, because he's getting moved all over the place. We see him inside. We see him outside. You see him in short routes, intermediate, deep routes. And his feel for the game and his feel for how to play with Drake May, and it probably goes back to playing with Josh Allen, right? Extending the plays. We saw the beautiful throw in slow motion. I'm sure everybody's watched it 10 times. But his reaction to Drake scrambling and getting to where he needed to go, and Drake letting the ball rip before he had even fully committed to where he was going to go, it just shows the level of
comfortability that they have, and I think it's going to continue to grow. And I think we all should give Stephon Diggs so much praise. I mean, this guy coming off of an ACL injury, and yeah, we saw all the videos in the offseason, but he's really starting to come along, and that's not an easy injury to come back from. I went through it, and all I had to do was play quarterback, so I can't imagine the cutting and, you know, getting hit and changing directions. He looks phenomenal, and I think too, you know, as your career gets longer, you gain perspective, and I think that's what you're seeing. You see a very mature Stephon Diggs, a very passionate Stephon Diggs, and it's a great thing for the Patriots.
Brian, I got two questions for you here. One, real quick, did the Bengals call you?
No, they did not. But that was a crazy. We were recording our podcast today, and our producer came on, and obviously we don't air to the next day. We were like, breaking news, but. Honestly, that could save the Bengals season. I think Joe Flacco paired with those receivers, I think that gives them a chance to hold on and hold out hope that Joe Burrow might be able to come back.
Okay, and back to reality. Exactly. Can you sort of like set the scene for the audience? At, you know, all the great work that Josh and Vrabel and Drake are doing up there with Diggs. But exactly how hostile, how difficult is it to play in Buffalo on a Sunday night with 70,000 people screaming at you, ready to dominate the Patriots and, you know, try to continue their stranglehold on the AFC? Just how difficult an environment is it to play that good a game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that I loved was they did not shy away from what they were going into. Vrabel talked about it. Look, we want the whole world to be watching. This is what you want. And the team basically played that way, right? And it is Highmark Stadium. Unless they go back there for a playoff game, the last Patriots game there goes out on a good note. But I was watching the warmups, and I had played a few night games at Highmark Stadium, and it was the first time since I was done playing with the excitement going into the game. I was like, man, I wish I was out there right now. It's just an incredible environment. They hate us so much. So to go in there and beat them, I wonder if they're sitting there today thinking, is our window closed? Are the Patriots back after they've owned us all those years with Tom Brady and we had our little window and we weren't able to take advantage of it? That's what I wonder if they're thinking up there in Buffalo right now.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, everybody is now assuming the Patriots are going to make the playoffs, assuming they're going to go on this crazy winning streak here because the schedule looks easy with the Saints and some other teams on the horizon. How big a challenge is that for Mike Vrabel and this team? You've won a couple good games in a row, but now it's about winning the games you're supposed to, consistency. How big a challenge is that next step?
Yeah, that's a big challenge, and we'll see the maturity of this team. I just want to go on the record and say everybody thought I was crazy when I said the floor was 8 games and the ceiling was 11. Now people are saying 14 wins. I'm like, you know, people thought I was crazy. I was recording our podcast with David Andrews, and he's like, I'm ready to buy Super Bowl tickets. I said, let's roll here.
Ted's got him in the AFC title game.
No, I don't.
Look, the reality is, I would say going into Sunday night, everyone would say that the favorite to win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl was the Buffalo Bills. Well, you just went in, and it wasn't a fluke. You went in and beat them at home. Now, I think the real test will be, how did the Patriots respond this week in a game that they're technically supposed to win? And now it's a team that everyone thinks stinks, but actually gave Buffalo a run for their money in the Saints a few weeks ago, and then they beat the Giants. So how do they respond to a big win? How do they go down and make sure they handle business? And I saw next week on Tuesday at 4:30, we'll all have a good feeling of where this Patriots team is as far as maturity and competitiveness.
It's so true. You got to validate, that win against Buffalo by beating the Saints. That's a good point, Brian. I want to go to the defensive side, and I want to talk about, I don't know, I did a deep dive on this play, the Marcus Jones interception in the breakdown with Phil Perry last night, and talking about defensive disguising, and the Patriots did a good job disguising. I think Josh thought he was thrown into a cover two look when it really was a cover one rat. You know, Jalen Hawkins came down and Marcus Jones undercut it. That just, can you talk about teams that are able to disguise their coverage and how impactful that can be, disrupting even the smartest quarterbacks, Brian?
Yeah, no doubt. I think the one thing we should talk about there is the with getting Christian Gonzalez back, it allows Marcus Jones to play inside where he's really a natural, great nickel corner. And what they did, you're right, Ted, the movement of coverage after the snap is always, for me as a quarterback, was the hardest. Because if you just lined up and play, and some of the teams that have had great defenses, like the Legion of Boom, there was no disguising. They were playing it, and they were just saying, we're better than you. Now, some of the teams that were able to disguise coverage and make you read it after the snap and then with a rush, those were always very difficult because you had to see it with the pressure coming around you. And I think they do a good job of that. And I go back to the last time I played against a Vrabel team when we were playing them in 2018. They actually beat us that year with a lot of different exotic blitz looks, late coverage rotations, things like that. And so they're pairing that with some good players. And look, Josh Allen is the MVP. He's going to get his one way or the other. And there was parts of that game you're like, all right, here he comes. But they were able to withstand, you know, some of the punches that he was throwing. And I think some of that was mixing up the defense and making him read it after the snap.
Okay, so obviously he's advanced and he's growing and he's evolving. And there's all the national and local praise. It's insane. You cannot open a social media app without seeing or hearing somebody say something outrageous about Drake May. So, Brian, what's next? Like, what is if he's now processing so well and he's reading defenses and he's making big-time plays and he's winning road games in hostile environments, what's the next step we can look forward to?
Well, I think the one thing that we really haven't seen a lot is just incorporating the zone read, the RPOs, all of those things. And I think the one thing you're seeing is Josh McDaniels has now called, you know, 5 games with Drake May as his quarterback. And I think it was very telling. The first play of the game was a boot to the left for a right-handed quarterback to Diggs. Yeah. He's getting more and more comfortable calling some of those movement plays. And also, look, there's certain teams that are better to zone read and RPO. And so I think as the season goes on and Josh is studying the tape and he sees some teams that are getting exposed by that, I think you'll see more use of Drake's legs in the running game. And I think the thing for Drake is just to keep on processing. I mean, he's done a good job of getting through his reads. One that comes to my mind right now is getting back to the backside and throwing the seam ball to Hunter Henry. So he's getting very comfortable with that. And then when things aren't there, he has the ability to escape and make highlight reel plays. And so I think the one thing he's just got to be conscious of is, you know, not putting himself in harm's way. We've talked about young quarterbacks and knowing when to protect themselves. And, you know, he slid the other night and got hit high. I mean, there's only so much you can do. And I think that's in his head. He's making smart decisions. And look, I think the sky's the limit because he's showing that he can be a dropback passer, be very efficient, be very accurate. And when things aren't there, he can be just as dangerous out on the run. And so I think the biggest thing for him is just keep progressing and stay healthy.
Brian, before we let you go, I wanted to tap into your wealth of knowledge. A lot of teams, a lot of coaches. The other night when Mike Vrabel is meeting every player in the tunnel on the way from the field to the locker room, how unique is that? How impactful is that for the players and the team? Is that common? Have you seen that before? What were your thoughts on that?
No, I think it's great. I think we all realize now Vrabel is what you would call a player's coach. Now, he's tough on them and he holds them accountable, but he's been in that situation before. He knows what it feels like to win a big game and to be there on your way back in the locker room ecstatic and celebrate with the head coach. I think it's important. I think we should give Vrabel credit. I mean, two guys who a few weeks ago people were ready to kind of, you know, hey, cut him or bench him, Borregales and Mondre. And Mondre had another fumble, but he's sticking with him. I mean, Gibson goes down, and he's had their back, and I think that goes a long way. So I think he's doing a really good job, and I think it's important. Look, sometimes the coach meets you in the locker room, sometimes he meets you outside of the locker room. But I think the one thing that you're seeing is the team is taking on Vrabel's mentality, and they are willing to battle it for this coach, and I think that's what you want.
All right, Brian, appreciate you joining us. Good insight as always. We will we'll talk to you next week when the Patriots will literally be in the Super Bowl already based on the way things are trending.
It's a start, though.
Yeah, right. We'll see. I think they should go down there and handle business. I think it could be, you know, a Panthers-type game. So,
but Rattler's playing better. Don't you think Rattler's playing better than you thought, maybe?
I mean, You know? No, he is. I mean, he's young. There's nothing to lose. He can throw it. Yeah. He's athletic. So they're going to have to contain him. And Gonzalez, I'm sure, will match up with Olave. And then I think offensively, I just want to see a complete game. I want to get the running game going. I think Travion Henderson will get more reps in practice. We'll see him more in the game. And Drake just continue to look comfortable out there.
All right, thanks, Brian. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brian.
See you.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah.
That was former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we need to do a little bit of a deeper dive into a couple of those answers. Players coach, Mike Vrabel. I'm not sure we knew Mike Vrabel was definitively a players coach, but Brian Hoyer says it is so. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
And when you think about where he's at today, he was making his first career start a year ago this week, in week six. And where he's come in a year is, in my opinion, about 3 years worth of development. And so he's coming along fast, and the one thing I love to see was his personality starting to show a little bit too. We saw it 2 weeks ago with the Superman celebration. We saw it this past weekend with a big, you know, get off the bench and scream and yell. And that to me is just showing that his confidence is growing, not only in himself, but the team.
Drake May aging 3 years or developing 3 years in just one calendar year.
What's the difference? Huh?
That's high praise.
Yeah.
Is that a Josh McDaniels comment?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
I think Drake May, right?
Well, duh. He's the one.
Okay, just making sure.
Why is it all or nothing? It can be.
Yeah, but.
But Josh McDaniels should get some credit for the development of Drake May. If he's come along.
You don't have to sell me.
In five games, basically 2.5 years of development, that's a big reason why.
And I would even say four games because we were all bitching about the first game. We all hated the first game. We were all like, he looks scared. He's worried not to do, blah, blah, blah.
But you know where the leadership comes when you start winning. Like, you can't be a leader if you're not winning.
Right.
And you got to, you know, or not playing good. Drake May's playing good. They're winning. Now you're going to see the leadership come out. All the stuff that we kind of wanted to see before, it just doesn't feel authentic to be a leader of a team that, you know, when you're not playing good and the team isn't winning, it's very difficult to be that leader.
And Drake shot this down. I asked Drake yesterday if he's feeling more comfortable as who he is, as the quarterback, as the leader. And he shot it down and said, no, I think it's inarguable when you watch him, when you observe him. Whether you want to point to, as Hoyer did, to the Superman celebration, whether you want to point to being a little bit more vocal on the sideline, yelling a little bit, I think it's quite clear that he is settling in. And it might be as simple as what you always say. You say it with every sport. You got to play well to lead. That's just the reality. Mm-hmm. And he is playing well. But I also think some of it is just, it's his team. He's the captain franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots. He wasn't that a year ago. A year ago, he was the backup to Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett was the captain. He was the deferential young guy who's only 22 and wait your turn, earn you whatever, right? Like, he's come a long way in what he is in a year, but also who he is, and it's only natural that you get more comfortable. I'll tell you, that can be fleeting, though. You go out and throw three picks and a loss to the Saints, and all of a sudden, you don't look comfortable.
Hey, where's all that leadership when you fell into a trap game and played like crap?
All right, let's actually listen to our question to Drake May yesterday about being comfortable. Are you getting more comfortable in your own skin? And what I mean by that is, you know, for the last year plus, you were going through the pre-draft process, the combine process. Then you're in a new place. You're competing for a job. You're the first time. Now you're winning football games. You got a winning record. You've been the starter for a while now. Are you just kind of settling into who you are as an NFL quarterback in person?
No, I think I've really always had the confidence in myself to go out there and play. And, to settle in a new environment, I think it's just playing for your teammates, getting to know your teammates, and getting to know the new coaching staff and the new area. So just finding ways to, like I said, just just every week, just treat like a new week and know that this NFL and this league is tough any week. So just approach it that way.
So he kind of shot it down.
Yeah.
But I think it's inarguable. Just observing him from afar. We're not behind the scenes, whatever. But just observing the way he's handled himself. And Brian Hoyer is a guy that has spent a lot of time around a lot of young quarterbacks, right? Remember that? There was all the kerfluffle about Johnny Football and what his relationship was with him. But he's been around a lot of young quarterbacks in his time.
Well, he's had to be because he was looked at eventually as a kind of a career backup.
Right.
And so you bring Hoyer in like you bring Josh Dobbs in, like you bring Jacoby Brissett in. So he's had to be around a lot of young quarterbacks based on the fact that he was kind of becoming a career quarterback. So that's his perspective is so good when it comes to this quarterback.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. But as I said, it can be fleeting. Like that next step we talked to Hoyer about, that next step of kind of winning the game you're supposed to, next week, if he's not the best quarterback on the field in New Orleans by far, that's a problem, right? Like, this isn't Josh Allen. It's not okay to be equal or whatever. You're now Drake May, budding superstar. Drake May, top 10 quarterback. If you go out and you're in a dogfight with Spencer Rattler and we're not sure who the better quarterback is, uh-oh.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But you know what? You guys have come a long way in your thinking with Drake May. Just think about the questions you used to ask Drake May on the show.
How much do you want to win? Yeah. There are people out there that are wondering, do you have the killer instinct to win? How much do you want to win in the NFL?
Yeah, that was a good question.
You guys, or was that Andy?
Well, that was Andy, yeah. That's okay. A good point. Good point. Not Fitzy. I don't mean to put you in that bucket, but it's just Andy. You've come a long way with Drake, man.
Drake, you're at a bit of a crossroads in year two.
I never said crossroads, not once.
Drake, have you thought about what you would do after football?
Is winning important to you? I mean, do you even care?
It was a topic. I Chris Curtis brought that up to the head coach, and the head coach didn't shoot it down.
So Chris said it.
No. If you remember, if we want to really delve into the details, the reason it was asked is because the head coach didn't shoot it down. The head coach's answer was, God, I hope so. Mm-hmm. He didn't say he was sure. He said, God, I hope so, was the answer to Chris Curtis asking if winning was important to Drake May.
Yeah.
So the reason that question was asked is that the head coach didn't shoot it down on the Greg Hill show in the morning.
Right.
Therefore, I followed up with the horse himself.
Vrabel's fault.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, players win game, coaches lose game.
Can I just a lot of people were wondering what do we do with Ramondre Stevenson? He's fumbles. My gosh, get him out of there. Culture. The Patriots added a running back. Have you guys already said this?
And no.
I wasn't listening.
But I'm happy to hear it.
They've added a running back by signing Jashawn Corbin to their practice squad.
Oh, man. Now fire up the
watch
defense.
Watch out.
Who that?
Jashawn Corbin?
Corbin, 25, most recently played for the Falcons this past summer. He spent time with the Giants, the Panthers, and the UFL San Antonio Brahmas?
Brahmas. The Brahmas. Yeah. That was the Rocks team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like duck boats to me.
So we went through some names. That was not one of them. We went through sort of the Zach Mosses, the Gus Edwards, the veterans.
The good ones.
Ezekiel Elliott, kind of guys
I'd rather have Zeke back in the
house. What about you guys? Those are all guys I'm guessing are not playing right now. What about guys that are on teams right now?
Yes, we've gone through some. The problem with that is that's a competitive market. The LA Chargers are in the mix for running backs. The Arizona Cardinals in the mix for running backs. The New England Patriots in the mix for running backs.
Everybody has
dropping
lost
like
running
flies.
How
running
desperate
backs.
Are you to establish your culture? Really, how bad do you want it?
Or you just say we need Ramondre Stevenson to hold on to the damn football.
There you go.
And we need Travion Henderson to block the guy who's running toward the quarterback when he's supposed to block the guy running toward the quarterback.
That Antonio Gibson injury that's a killer, man.
It is.
That's a tough one.
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it is 5 o'clock. It is time for the drive, and it's time for us to revisit the question of the day. Just how great is Drake May? Just how great are the New England Patriots? How many MVPs, Super Bowls, and playoff appearances are ahead? That's ahead on WEEI Afternoons.
Are you concerned at all about how important it is for Drake May to win? Do you think it's the most important thing for him?
God, I hope so.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.